And now please take your Bible and turn to Acts chapter 25, verses 1 through 12. Acts chapter 25, verses 1 through 12. Remember, this is God's holy word, infallible, inerrant, and authoritative. Acts chapter 25, verse 1. Now, when Festus had come to the province, after 3 days, he went up from Caesarea to Jerusalem. Then the high priest and the chief men of the Jews informed him against Paul, and they petitioned him, asking a favor against him, that he would summon him to Jerusalem while they lay in ambush along the road to kill him. But Festus answered that Paul should be kept at Caesarea and that he himself was going there shortly. Therefore he said, "Let those who have authority among you go down with me and accuse this man to see if there is any fault in him." And when he had remained among them more than 10 days, he went down to Caesarea. And the next day, sitting on the judgment seat, he commanded Paul to be brought. When he had come, the Jews who had come down from Jerusalem stood about and laid many serious complaints against Paul, which they could not prove. While he answered for himself, "Neither against the law of the Jews, nor against the temple, nor against Caesar, have I offended in anything at all." But Festus, wanting to do the Jews a favor, answered Paul and said, "Are you willing to go up to Jerusalem and there be judged before me concerning these things?" So Paul said, "I stand at Caesar's judgment seat, where I ought to be judged. To the Jews I have done no wrong, as you very well know. For if I am an offender, or have committed anything deserving of death, I do not object to dying. But if there is nothing in these things of which these men accuse me, no one can deliver me to them. I appeal to Caesar." Then Festus, when he had conferred with the council, answered, "You have appealed to Caesar. To Caesar you shall go." May the Lord bless the reading of his own word. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. And let us pray. Our gracious Father, we thank you for your holy word. Lord, your word says, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work." Lord, we acknowledge that your word is inspired by you, and indeed it is profitable for teaching, for reproving, for correcting, and also for instructing your people in righteousness, so that your people can be made complete and thoroughly equipped for every good work. Father, we ask that may you equip us with your word to do good work. Speak to us through your word even now, O God. Open our blind eyes to see the truths found in the scripture. Help us to be interested in your word. Help us to embrace the absolute truths found in your word. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. injustice. In this world, should we not expect injustice? Perhaps sometimes we may find justice. Many times we may not find justice. You know, in the Old Testament, the Israelites, looking at other nations, wanted king for themselves. They failed to acknowledge and be satisfied in God as their perfect king and judge. However, God granted them judges and kings, and he provided them good justice system. Yet, the Old Testament kings and judges failed, for they were not perfect. They failed to be good kings and judges because of their sinfulness. Today's text portrays another unjust ruler and his failure in dispensing justice to Paul. Hence, Paul faced injustice. Before we get into the text, let us review. And we must go all the way back to Acts chapter 21. If you remember Acts chapter 21, some Jews from Asia Minor, and that is from Ephesus, came down to Jerusalem and they recognized Paul in the temple. And these Jews gathered a mob to attack Paul. The Roman commander, Claudius Lysias, intervened and ordered the arrest of Paul in order to protect Paul. Then Paul sought the permission of the commander to speak to the Jews in Hebrew. Paul explained his conversion, but most importantly, he explained concerning his call to ministry to the Jews as well as Gentiles. Hearing the word Gentiles, the Jews cried out and tore their clothes, expressing their anger and opposition. Then he was brought before the Sanhedrin, and there Paul defended himself concerning all the false charges brought by the Jews. And he used that opportunity to preach the gospel and the resurrection of Christ. After hearing the resurrection of Christ, there was a great dissension within the Sanhedrin between the Pharisees and Sadducees because of resurrection. Then Paul was brought before Felix and Drusilla, but he was not judged. His judgment was delayed. Felix held Paul in custody for 2 years, hoping to receive a bribe from him, but he did not. Then we learned that Felix was replaced by Festus, the new governor. So what did the new governor do after taking office? And what happened to Paul? Was he released? We will find out in this text. So we are going to examine this text under three headings. Number one, hatred towards Paul. Hatred towards Paul, verses 1 through 5. Second, false charges. False charges, verses 6 through 9. Third, appeal to Caesar. Appeal to Caesar, verses 10 through 12. Hatred towards Paul, false charges, appeal to Caesar. So let us look at the first heading, hatred towards Paul, verses 1 through 5. Festus just took office in Caesarea as the new governor of Judea. Having arrived in Caesarea, Festus' first mission was to visit Jerusalem. Why? Perhaps he went to Jerusalem to make a courtesy call on the religious leaders. The religious leaders, meaning the high priest and the chief men of the Jews. The chief men of the Jews probably were the elders. So the religious leaders had power and authority over the Jews. So what happened on the first meeting with the governor? And that is very important. What happened in the first meeting with the governor? The Jews, the high priest and the elders, they brought to the table a past unsettled issue. A past unsettled issue, which was the issue of Paul. See, the Jewish leaders were very focused. The Jewish leaders informed Festus things about Paul. Certainly not good things. Look at verse 2. The Jews informed him against Paul. Against probably false charges. A two-year-old issue. And they had not forgotten about those things. So what they do? What did they do? They petitioned Festus. They asked favor against Paul. They requested that Paul be summoned to Jerusalem. And why? The author of this book, Book of Acts, Luke, tells us the reason. The same old reason. Look at verse 3. While they lay in ambush along the road to kill him. Ambush. They would plan an ambush to kill Paul. Can you imagine the kind of hatred they had? Hatred had not died down even after 2 years. That hatred was still smoldering in their hearts. Their goal to kill Paul did not change even after 2 years. So do you notice how much hatred the religious leaders had towards Paul? And who are these religious leaders? High priest and elders of the Jews. And these religious people knew the Old Testament very well. And they were supposed to promote moral values. They were supposed to promote holiness and godliness. Yet, they were determined to kill Paul. We are talking about members of the temple. We are talking about members of the synagogue. That religious leaders determined to kill Paul. After even 2 years, they still had hatred towards Paul. And killing Paul was still lingering in their hearts. Just imagine, they were full of bitterness. Can you imagine how wicked their hearts were? How true are the words of Jesus? John chapter 15, verses 18 and 19. Jesus said, "If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world, if you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you." The unregenerate hates the regenerate. The unbelievers hate Christians. The unregenerate regenerate religious leaders hated Paul. You know, you can find no book like the Bible which exposes our sins. You will find no other book than the Bible which exposes the deceitfulness of the heart. And you can find no book as honest as the Bible. And that's what we are finding here in the Word of God. Well, coming back to Festus, Festus rejected the petition from the Jews. Festus replied that Paul should be kept in custody in Caesarea and that he would be visiting him shortly. So in counter to their petition, Festus invited those in authority to accompany him to Caesarea and present their charges in order to investigate any fault in Paul. In other words, Festus wanted to reopen the case and perform a formal retrial on Paul. So Festus invited the religious leaders, especially those in authority, to attend the hearing in Caesarea. It is interesting that Festus spent 10 days in Jerusalem. Probably Festus was learning the customs and traditions of the Jewish people in Jerusalem. Probably. But after 10 days, he returned to Caesarea. On the next day, after reaching Caesarea, Festus, sitting on the judgment seat, summoned Paul to appear before him. The Jews from Jerusalem also appeared before Festus. So what happened? So we come to the second heading, false charges, verses 6 through 9. Festus, the new governor of Judea, was seated on his judgment seat. The trial of Paul took place before Festus. And Luke reports that the Jews from Jerusalem presented many serious complaints against Paul. Many serious complaints against Paul. I cannot imagine how they could do that. I cannot imagine how people can bring many serious complaints against a good and godly man like Paul. Because Paul lived with a good conscience before God. That's what we are told. What happened to the consciousness of the Jews? Probably dead. Moreover, Luke adds these words, which they could not prove. Which they could not prove. Look at verse 7. When he had come, the Jews who had come down from Jerusalem stood about and laid many serious complaints against Paul, which they could not prove. In other words, charges without evidence. And we all know, no courts should qualify any charge without evidence. It will be a tragedy if courts do not carry out proper investigation on false charges or any charges against a person. Anybody can bring charges or complaints against anyone. But then it is always wise to examine the complaints and analyze them properly and thoroughly in the courts. In order to safeguard proper trial, God has taught us in the Old Testament. Let us look to an Old Testament passage which can be helpful to us. Deuteronomy chapter 19, verse 15. Deuteronomy chapter 19, verse 15. Listen very carefully. This will be very helpful. One witness shall not rise against a man concerning any iniquity or any sin that he commits. By the mouth of two or three witnesses, the matter shall be established. In other words, according to the Old Testament passage, one witness is not enough to sustain a charge. Worse, if there are no witnesses at all. So it is very clear from this passage that at least two witnesses are required in order for the complaint to be established. See, that is the wisdom of God. Hence, the Jews had no evidence to substantiate the charges against Paul. In fact, they brought false charges against Paul. Who brought false charges? The Jews of high authority. Can you imagine? Paul defended himself. Look at verse 8. He answered for himself. In other words, he defended for himself. And he said, neither against the law of the Jews, nor against the temple, nor against Caesar, have I offended in anything at all. Verse 8. So Paul clearly articulated that he was not anti-Jew, he was not anti-temple, and he was not anti-Caesar. Caesar meaning Rome, or Roman ruler. So what was Paul saying? Paul was saying that he did not disobey the Jewish law, and he did not desecrate the temple, nor did he despise the Roman authority. In fact, Paul lived in good conscience before God. He did not offend anything at all. On the other hand, the Jews presented false charges. And Paul repeatedly denied the false charges presented by the Jews. But look at the way how the corrupted Festus answered. Look at verse 9. He asked, yes, Paul, are you willing to go up to Jerusalem and there be judged before me concerning these things? Why did Festus ask this question? Do you want to know the answer? Look at verse 17 through 20. There you will find the reason. Verse 17. Therefore, Acts chapter 25, verse 17. Therefore, when they had come together, without any delay, the next day I sat on the judgment seat and commanded the man to be brought in. When the accuser stood up, they brought no accusation against him of such things as I supposed, but had some questions against him about their own religion and about a certain Jesus who had died, whom Paul affirmed to be alive. And because I was uncertain of such questions, I asked whether he was willing to go to Jerusalem and there be judged concerning these matters. What difference would that make? The Jews would continue to make the same false charges, and perhaps would have Paul killed in Jerusalem. So what difference would that make in bringing Paul to Jerusalem? But then here, we need to understand this. What was the underlying reason for Festus to ask that question? Look at verse 9. Verse 9. But Festus, wanting to do the Jews a favor. Again, we are hearing the word favor. But Festus, wanting to do the Jews a favor, answered Paul, and said, "Are you willing to go up to Jerusalem and there be judged before me concerning these things?" So Festus wanted to do favor to the Jews, just like Felix. Remember, I quoted this from a commentator. Quote, "Rulers always keep one eye on public opinion. And when they are torn between justice and expediency, it is a rare ruler who will keep his eyes on justice. The idea of political expediency is a temptation that comes to everyone in a position of leadership or power. And we face it and feed it ourselves in our own culture." Unquote. This statement applies to Felix, and this also applies to Festus, because both of them were people pleasers. They were not concerned about justice. They were not concerned about the justice for Paul. And Festus was no different from Felix. He was a corrupted governor, just like Felix. No governor, or even the Jews, wanted to defend Paul. Paul was a lone ranger fighting for justice, because there was only injustice. One day, you might be in the same situation also. You might be a lone ranger fighting for justice. If Paul had gone to Jerusalem, what would have happened? He would have been killed by the Jews through an ambush. There was no evidence to substantiate charges against Paul, and Paul defended for himself, and he did not think he would receive justice. So what happened next? So we come to the third heading, appeal to Caesar, verses 10 through 12. Paul somehow knew what would happen. So he did not prefer to be judged before the Jews, for he claimed that he did no wrong to the Jews. Hence, Paul asserted that he was rightfully to be judged before Festus. Look at verse 11. Paul said, "For if I am an offender or have committed anything deserving of death, I do not object to dying. But if there is nothing in these things of which these men accuse me, no one can deliver me to them." In other words, no one can deliver me to the Jews. So Paul was very clear with his statement that if he truly had committed offense and deserved death punishment, then he would be willing to die. He would be willing to take the punishment for his crime. But if there were no proven charges, then no one should deliver him to the Jews. And so, he ended his reply with these few words, but powerful words. "I appeal to Caesar. I appeal to Caesar." Caesar, it was the last name of Julius Caesar. It seems that later it became the title of the Roman emperor. Caesar means emperor, or the highest court in the Roman Empire. At that time, Caesar was none other than Emperor Nero. Paul preferred to appear before Nero than the religious leaders. Appearing before Nero means the highest court, or the Supreme Court in Rome. Festus, after hearing Paul's reply, he checked with his council members and pronounced these words. You have appealed to Caesar. To Caesar you shall go. Verse 12. Well, Paul was wanting to go to Rome. In fact, Paul clearly knew that that was God's will for him. Acts chapter 23, verse 11, let me remind you. Remember, the Lord stood beside Paul and said, "Be of good cheer, Paul, for as you have testified for me in Jerusalem, so you must also bear witness at Rome." What was God's will for Paul? God's will for Paul was to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to the Jews, magistrates, and Gentiles in Rome. That was God's purpose. And Paul yearned to go to Rome. You have appealed to Caesar. To Caesar you shall go. As a Roman citizen, Paul had the right to be tried in the highest court in the Roman Empire. Because he could not find justice, he faced injustice. So he preferred to appear before Caesar, and so his request was granted by the governor Festus. Well, we examine this text under three headings: hatred towards Paul, false charges, appeal to Caesar. I have three things to put forward to you. Number one, let us strive to live in good conscience before God. Let us seek God's help to live in accordance to the Holy Scriptures. Do you know why Paul was not afraid of anything? Because Paul lived in good conscience before God. That's why he could say, "I did no wrong to anyone." Paul lived in submission to the word of God. So like Paul, let us live in good conscience before God. Second, God's providence. Do you notice God's invisible hand in all the events surrounding Paul? God has ordained the primary causes and as well as the secondary causes to accomplish his purpose in Paul's life. God's will for Paul was to preach the gospel of Jesus in Rome. If you want to learn about God's providence, Esther is a good book to read. In fact, the whole Bible is good to understand God's providence. Another one is Paul's life. You can trace God's providence working out in Paul's life. And remember, all things happen according to God's ordained will, because God is in control of all things. And look back. What happened yesterday? And be assured that whatever happened yesterday, they happen according to God's will. Third, injustice. Being a good, industrious worker, you might have been qualified to receive promotion, but someone else received it. And you say, "That is not justice. I've worked hard and put all my sweat in it." Being a student, your paper could have deserved a higher grade than your fellow student who did not put in much effort. And you say, "That is not justice." As a good citizen, you feel that the laws were not administered fairly and properly. Perhaps the rich and and the powerful are treated better than the poor and weak. Perhaps false accusations are charged upon someone you know. Well, injustice can take place in school, workplace, public place, and even in the church. Even in the church. How can we escape bitterness, anger, depression, and disappointment? There's only one way. Look unto Christ. Look unto Christ. Did Pontius Pilate, Felix, and Festus administer justice when they sat on the judgment seat? No. Because they were more concerned about public opinion, pleasing men, guarding their position and power. Because they were more important. Position and power were more important than administering justice. But Jesus is different. Jesus is the supreme judge of the universe. God, by his power, had raised Jesus from the dead and seated him on the judgment seat. And God had appointed a day on which Jesus will judge the world in righteousness. And his judgment would be perfect and final without injustice, and no appeal for higher court would be necessary. Are you ready to face Jesus on that day of judgment? Amen. Let's pray. Our gracious Father, we thank you, Lord, for this text. Father, this text teaches us that there will be injustice in this world. Paul faced injustice, and likewise, we will all face injustice in this world. But help us not to be taken by surprise. Maybe be prepared to face injustice in this fallen world. Lord, help us not to trust man, or even ourselves. Maybe trust God. Maybe trust Jesus, the supreme judge. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.